As we continue our retreat heading toward total consecration, we'll look at the Blessed Mother and the retreat that she made in her own life. Stay tuned, it's coming up now. Hello there. Happy Sunday. Welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimak, and whatever my name is. Maybe you could tell me. I'm not really sure what my name is. At any rate, I am Gary Zimak, and I'll be here with you for the next 30 minutes. Thanks for tuning into the show. And today, as hard as it is to believe, we are entering day 24 of our 33-day preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. And on the show today, we'll look at Father Gately's examination of Our Blessed Mother's retreat and how she took her life, took the form of a retreat. We're going to talk about this. He makes some really good points. And then we'll try to look at the daily mass or the Sunday mass readings today because there's a powerful message that's emerging. I don't know about you, but I am super excited to watch and listen to the messages delivered by Pope Francis. This has been an unbelievable experience. I'm going to need some time to catch up on all that he's saying because he's saying so much. But I think one of the greatest things that I'm seeing, the fruit of his efforts, is that he's attracting people that in many cases have been completely removed from the Catholic Church for a long time. He's reaching out to people and proclaiming this message. It's such a simple message, that God loves us and that God wants to have a personal relationship with us. And I know a lot of times we could be critical when we hear, this is understandable, when we hear what he's saying, some people think that he should be a little stronger, that he should talk about abortion and mention it by name and talk about the evils in the world and what we need to do to get back. His message is powerful. You've got to look more at his words. You've got to look at his actions too, what he's doing behind the scenes and how he's reaching out. But let's face it, and I feel so strongly about this. If people aren't drawn to Christ and they don't have a relationship with Christ, then all the teachings in the world aren't going to help them. And that's what you and I need to remember. Yes, we absolutely need to follow the teachings of Christ's church. But you're listening to a program. You're making a retreat, dedicating yourself to making a total consecration to Jesus through Mary. You are not the average Catholic. And you know, I'm blessed to have you here. You and I, we're not the average Catholics. The average Catholic is sitting in the pew, if at all, completely unaware that they can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, I lived that life for many years. I get that completely. And some of our Catholics have either left the church and joined another denomination, or they don't go to Mass anymore at all. So this is what the Pope is dealing with. These are the people you and I need to be reaching out to, in addition to the believers who strongly believe in a personal relationship with Christ and have that relationship. You and I need to be reaching after the lost sheep. That's what our Holy Father's doing. And we're not going to win them over by saying right off the bat, if you don't go to church every Sunday, you're going to hell. This is a different generation, and I'm as conservative as it gets. I go to daily Mass. I love the Lord. I totally believe everything the church teaches, but I'm realizing now, and this has taken me a long time to realize, that we need to find a way, with the help of the Lord, to reach those who are desperately in need of having Christ in their life. So that, you know, you might not realize that's why you're here, but that's one of the reasons you're here. Because the Lord needs people like you to reach out to the lost sheep. Those lost sheep might be living in your house too. So let's continue to pray for the grace. We absolutely need the grace to know how we should reach out to those souls who need to hear the message and may not even know that Christ loves them and that he wants to have a personal relationship with them. A lot of people don't realize that's possible. You're being brought along by the Blessed Mother to grow closer to Christ. But it doesn't stop there. He needs us all to get out into the world and do what Pope Francis is doing, letting the world know that Jesus Christ loves each one of us, that he wants to have a relationship with us. And then that Christ founded a church And that church is the way that we're going to get to heaven. And that message is lost on a lot of people in the world today. So let's continue to pray for our Holy Father and continue to pray that the Holy Spirit will help us to get out there and be bold proclaimers of the message. But at the same time, we've got to be prudent. We've got to know our audience. We really have to depend on the Holy Spirit to let us know what to say and when to say it. And that really is crucial. So anyway, I'm excited to be here. We've got some good material today. It is day 24. And pardon me, I have a bit of a frog in my throat. But today we're going to take a look at Mary's retreat, which is something we don't ordinarily think of. And then we will try to look at the Mass readings. I say try because it is Sunday. We have extra readings. I'm not sure how many we'll get to, but we're going to try our best to do it. And then tomorrow we'll be back in the evening as we continue our week devoted to the teachings of St. John Paul II. Remember, when we're done with St. John Paul II, we'll begin a five-day recap of everything that we discussed. Just a short synopsis of everything. That'll begin on Friday, by the way. And then we'll be able to make our consecration on October the 7th, which is the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. If at any time you have any questions, please feel free to email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. So why don't we begin with prayer, and then we'll get right on with the show. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much for giving us another day. Please help us, Father. Help us to love you more. Help us to be more willing to share your message with all of the people in the world. Help us to have the strength to do that, even when we may be met with resistance or apathy. Help us to truly know how to love those around us. Father, we ask you to help anyone who is sick today, anyone who is anxious, anyone who is lonely, anyone who is dealing with financial difficulty, anyone who is dealing with addiction, anyone that needs your peace in their life. Help them, Father. We ask you to use us in any way you see necessary. I ask you, Father, to take over this show for me. Please speak through me today and open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. We ask you to bless our Holy Father, Pope Francis, and allow his mission. Please keep him safe and allow his mission to bear great fruit in the souls of anyone who hears him speak or sees his actions. Please bless all of those who will be in attendance at the Holy Father's Mass this afternoon. And help us as we continue on the road to making our total consecration. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, who is your Son and our Lord, and who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her prayers as together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Louis de Montfort, Saint John Paul II, Saint Maximilian Kolbe, and Blessed Mother Teresa, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Got lots of good things to talk about. I've just got to be able to clear my throat. Hang on 1 second. I had to take a sip of my beverage du jour, which happens to be a big glass of water. One more throat clear, and let's hope that lasts for the entire program. I'm Gary Zimek, and it is a real pleasure to be with you. I know I say that every day, but believe me, it really is an honor. And it is very uplifting to me to know that you're coming out and listening to the programs and taking this total consecration seriously. You are about to enter into a life-changing experience. And don't panic, as I've been telling you before, your whole world is not going to get turned upside down all at once. Gradually, what you'll see is you're going to become closer to Christ, and you will be more willing to get out into the world and share that good news with those around you. That's very important. You're going to have that great personal relationship with Christ, absolutely. But you also need to share him with other people, because you're here. Many of them are not here. They don't get this. Not only do they not get total consecration, they don't get Jesus being real. Even you might not be sure yet. Well, let's continue to work toward it. And you're going to be amazed as you get to know him closer. Your heart's going to change. You're going to feel peace, and you're going to feel the ability to do things that you wouldn't ordinarily be able to do. So that's all to come. It's good stuff. As per usual, if you have questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. Let's talk about the material for day 24, Mary's Retreat. Day 1, tomorrow we'll do Mary's Retreat. That's right, day 2. And then Tuesday, what do you think? Mary's Retreat, day 3. That is correct. So that's what's on tap for the next few days. Here's what Father Mike Gately has to say. During this retreat, we've been pondering in our hearts certain truths of our faith that relate to Marian consecration. One might say we're on a kind of a pilgrimage of faith leading up to consecration day. During her earthly life, Mary too was on a kind of retreat and pilgrimage of faith. She too pondered in her heart different truths related to Marian consecration. After all, she didn't discover all at once her vocation to be a spiritual mother and mediatrix. Like us, Mary needed to walk by faith while pondering in her heart. She too needed a time of preparation regarding her special role as our mother in the order of grace. Now, we need to pause and think about this, because this is such an important concept that Father Mike just put forth. Mary wasn't told all the information that she needed to know at once. She needed to walk by faith. And if you look at what happened to her in Scripture, you'll see that she was revealed what she needed to know when she needed to know it. Just a little bit at a time, and she would ponder this information, or the things happening in her life, she'd ponder it so that she could determine what it is that God wanted her to do. Mary was not divine. Mary didn't know everything. Mary had great faith, though. So take comfort in realizing that Mary was very much on the same road that you and I are on. Even though we weren't conceived without original sin, even though we have committed numerous sins, Mary never committed one sin. But we're very much on the same road in that we've had to walk by faith. She had to walk by faith. You and I have had to walk by faith. And God revealed things to her gradually, just as he's going to reveal things to us gradually. Because Mary's maternal mediation is so central to a proper understanding of Marian consecration, we're going to spend the next few days making a retreat within our retreat. We'll do this by peering in on Mary's retreat. In other words, we're going to accompany Mary along the way that God led her to progressively discover her vocation to be our spiritual mother and mediatrix. Now, you and I, as we go along this path, after we make our consecration, that's where we're going to see most of this happen. God's going to reveal some things to us. When? I can't tell you. How? I can't tell you that either. But I know he will. Because as you grow closer to him, and as you make yourself more available for his use, he's going to ask you to do things. I've seen this in my life. I am doing things that I would have never thought I would be doing. It's not that he wasn't calling me to these things before. It's that I wasn't listening. I didn't give him the time of day. Now, once I become open and am letting him use me, he's doing it. He can use anybody. Look at the apostles. Look at St. Paul. Look at Abraham. Look at Moses. Look at the people that the Lord used throughout history. They're not scholars. They're not geniuses, right? They're ordinary people with the common qualification, or not even qualification, with the common, the one thing that they had in common was the fact that they all said yes. Because I don't want to use the word qualification, because none of us are qualified to do the Lord's work, but all of us are called to do it. All you need to do is say yes. So we're going to look at Mary's life and what she went through. Because I'm sure even in this preparation process, the Lord has opened your eyes to certain things that you didn't think about before. Praise God for that. You know, you might be hard on yourself for not doing a good enough job during this retreat. If you learn one thing that you didn't know before, then it was all successful. You really need to believe that. If you learn one thing that you didn't know before you went into this, that's a wonderful thing. So let's continue to go forward. Let's also continue to see what Father Gately has to say. In some sense, Mary's retreat begins at the Annunciation. By her yes to God, her fiat, she accepted her vocation to be the mother of Jesus. But did she also know that she was accepting the call to be the spiritual mother to all Christians as well? I don't know. What I do know is that the whole mystery of the Annunciation gave Mary something amazing to ponder, something that happens to be deeply related to Marian consecration and entrustment. Let me put it this way. Who was the first person to entrust himself to Mary? It wasn't St. Louis de Montfort. It was God the Father. Now, this is going to get deep, so fasten your seatbelts for this. John Paul II explains, "For it must be recognized that before anyone else, it was God Himself, the Eternal Father, who entrusted Himself to the Virgin of Nazareth, giving her His only Son in the mystery of the Incarnation." I want you to pause. I want you to think about that, because that was a mind-blowing statement from St. John Paul II. I'm going to read that again because it's so incredible. "For it must be recognized that before anyone else, it was God Himself, the Eternal Father, who entrusted Himself to the Virgin of Nazareth, giving her His own Son in the mystery of the Incarnation." Is that mind-blowing or what? Mary surely marveled at this act of humility on God's part. As she marveled and pondered it, might she have begun to have some inkling that God would later want the people He came to redeem to follow His example? So, I'll be honest with you. I've done this consecration several times. This is the fifth year I've done it on this program and in my own life. I don't ever remember hearing that before. That's an example, and I've done the material before, but I don't remember hearing that before. That's an example of when we renew our consecration, we go through the material again, something is going to hit you that you just never heard before. You're not going to understand it all the first time through, or the second, or the third, or the fourth, or the 50th, whatever. Just keep at it. And keep in your mind, and make a pledge with yourself that you're going to renew it next year. I'd love to have you back with me, God willing. And let's do it together, because you hear things like this and your mind gets blown. By making the total consecration and entrusting yourself to Mary, according to St. John Paul II, and again, he's a saint. He knows what he's talking about. You're imitating God the Father, who entrusted Himself to the Blessed Virgin Mary by giving her His only Son. That is mind-boggling. So that's one of the main reasons why we're doing this consecration. It's because we are imitating God the Father. Well, back to Father Gately. Mary had many other things to ponder during her preparation to be ever more completely our mother in the order of grace. The Synoptic Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke offer several points of reflection that speak to Mary's spiritual motherhood. Take, for example, the passage in the Gospel of Mark, Mark 3, verses 31 through 35, where Mary and Jesus' cousins are outside, wanting to see Jesus, and so they asked for Him and called to Him. Jesus responds by asking, "Who are my mother and my brethren?" Then, looking at those sitting around Him, He says, "Here are my mother and my brethren. Whoever does the will of God is my brother, my sister, and my mother." In giving this response, was Jesus being a bad son? No. He was being exactly the kind of son His Father wanted Him to be. At the same time, He was preparing his mother for who he wanted her to be specifically. He was revealing to her the new filial bond of the kingdom that goes beyond the bonds of the flesh. In other words, he was pointing out the primacy of the spirit of the flesh, the spirit to the flesh, the primacy of the supernatural fatherhood of God to the natural fatherhood or motherhood of man. It's likely that Mary immediately grasped some of what Jesus was trying to teach her. After all, for years she had pondered in her heart another strange response of Jesus, the one he gave when she found him in the temple after 3 days of sorrowful searching. When he said in Luke 2:49, "Did you not know I must be about my Father's business?" During his public ministry, Jesus was indeed completely concerned with his Father's business. Now, a key part of this business involved preparing his mother for her new role in God's kingdom. Jesus knew that in the dimension of the kingdom of God and in the radius of the fatherhood of God, Mary's motherhood takes on another meaning. In the words reported by Mark that we had read earlier, Jesus points to this meaning: "Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." We can be sure that Mary pondered this in her heart, and that she realized that by these words, Jesus was not rejecting her, but rather preparing her. Can we be sure Jesus wasn't rejecting Mary? Yes, we can. Even if Jesus' words sound like he's rejecting her, they aren't. In fact, if we consider a similar passage in the Gospel of Luke, Luke 11, verses 27 and 28, it's clear that Jesus is actually blessing his mother. In the other passage, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to Jesus, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you." Jesus responds in a way similar to what we read in Mark. "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." At first reading, this may seem like a rebuke of Mary, but it's not. After all, who heard the word of God and kept it better than Mary? Nobody. Thus, Jesus is actually blessing his mother, and she would have realized it. Mary is an incredibly perceptive woman, and she paid close attention to Jesus' every word and action. The subtleties of her teaching were not lost on her, and she progressively came to realize the unfolding mystery of her own unique motherhood. As the messianic mission of her son grew clearer in the eyes, or to her eyes and spirit, Mary herself, as a mother, became ever more open to that new dimension of motherhood, which was to constitute her part beside her son. Had she not said from the very beginning, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word," through faith, Mary continued to hear and ponder that word. Thus, in a sense, Mary's mother became the first disciple of her son, the first to whom she seemed to say, "Follow me." And we don't normally think of Mary as a disciple, but she was. She's someone who can lead us in setting a good example for what it means to be a follower. The desire to do God's will, that desire to determine what God's will is, what he's calling me to do. It's going to take some pondering as you look at the things that happen in your life. Anything that happens to you is God's will. God's allowing that to happen in your life. It's his will. But what do you make of that? How do I make of what happens to me today, especially if it's not pleasant or if I'm feeling this desire to do something? Am I supposed to? Does God want me to do something? You're going to figure that out by pondering, by meditating, by thinking. And it doesn't necessarily come all at once. But as you're pondering, as you're talking to the Lord, and this is the importance, as you're doing this, you're growing closer to him, because prayer is a relationship. So as you read your scripture, as you spend time in Eucharistic adoration or at Mass, and you talk to him every day, which are all essential things, you're not going to get to know him if you don't spend time with him. As you do that, he'll reveal gradually to you his plan for your life. For the most part, you're going to be doing what you would ordinarily do. You're going to do your job, whatever it may be, to the best of your ability, but there are going to be these certain things that you feel called to do. My wife Eileen, after taking a few years off, felt the call to be a religious education teacher, so she's going to help out at our parish this year. But she felt that call. She just felt the Lord was calling her to do this, in addition to homeschooling our girls. So you're going to feel things in your life. I don't know what they will be, but just be open to them, and God can do great things. This is all about reaching one soul. Mother Angelica has said that if the entire network, the entire EWTN network, was created and set up to reach one soul and one soul only, that it would all be worth it. And that really, that's the mentality we have to have. We can't get too concerned about the results of our evangelization efforts. What we better be concerned about is the question of, are we doing anything? Our job is to plant seeds. The Lord's job is to water those seeds and to make them grow. But our job is to plant those seeds. If we're not planting seeds, we are not doing what we're supposed to do. All right, what a joy it must have been for Jesus to have one disciple, Mary, who fully understood him. What a consolation to his heart to find such attentiveness to God's word. Tomorrow we'll reflect more on Mary's attentiveness and how it led her to discover yet another aspect to her part beside her son in his work of salvation. This part does indeed involve, as John Paul wrote, a new dimension of her motherhood. Thus at Cana, we'll see that she gives birth to the faith of Jesus' disciples by initiating his first miracle, which comes through her motherly attentiveness to human need. Let's close with the prayer for today. Come, Holy Spirit, living in Mary, help me to be faithful to a heart-pondering prayer, as was Mary. So, very, very powerful message today. The fact that Mary had to ponder things in her heart, much the same way you and I will have to do throughout our life, in order to find out what God wants us to do. Also remember, in the words of St. John Paul II, that God the Father was the first to entrust himself to Mary when he gave her his only son. So you're following him by making this total consecration. Again, that's a pretty deep concept. Just try to take it for what it's worth and ask the Lord to reveal anything else that he wants you to know from this meditation. I'm here if you need me, Gary at followingthetruth.com. I've got about 3 minutes. Let's look at today's gospel because it really ties in nicely to Pope Francis and the work that he's doing. Mark chapter 9 starts in verse 38. At that time, John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow us." Jesus replied, "Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not use his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." What in the world is Jesus talking about? He's using hyperbole here. It's an exaggeration in order to get the attention of his listeners. And it works, doesn't it? I mean, you're thinking like, oh my goodness, what is he saying? What the Lord's saying is this. You and I have a great responsibility. We've got to live our life in such a way that we are going to draw people closer to the Lord and not push them away. If you and I are committing one sin after another, we're going to be setting a horrible example for people. And then when we do try to share the good news with them, they're not going to listen to us. So we need to make sure that we get our act together. When it comes to living our life, we've got to watch our language. We've got to be kind to people. We've got to be nice. We can't judge. And at the same time, we've got to share Jesus with who? With everyone. It starts with our actions, and then gets followed up with words. That's what we need to do, because there are lost sheep out there. We need to do our part to help the Lord find those sheep. You're on your way. Let's continue moving toward total consecration, and you're going to see great things happen. I got to go. Thanks so much for tuning in. God bless you, and God willing, we'll see you tomorrow. Take care.